Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Careful. I want you to be careful. I really
do. Of what?
Of anything that can hit you. Of anything that can hit you. Look at all the stuff. Of this.
Of what?
Of this.
Do it look like I'm scared?
No, you don't.
Do it look like I'm scared?
You don't.
Exactly. Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the media.
Okay. Real shit. You don't know me, but we're
going
to get to know each other. That's
You're
what
gonna
we're going
to get to know
do.
Each other.
Yes,
huh?
We are.
Let's
we
see.
Are. We are.
How you
going to
know me?
I'm going to turn it to talk.
So the man was telling a CNN actor that you're making it worse. And today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made. These are the times in which God has decided we will live. Responsibilities are sometimes to take voices like that gentleman who's saying you are twisting up this story and making it worse. The story being in Minnesota, that you're making it worse by, in fact, CNN blatantly wants racial violence. They're blatantly seeking it. In fact, they've no longer saying peaceful riots. They've now begun to say these are just protests. But of course, the riot that got out of hand in Washington, D.C. on the 6th, that wasn't a riot. That was first, what did they call it? A siege and then an attack. And then it became forevermore, in their words, an insurrection. And so that continues to be in Minnesota, that people are watching their neighborhoods burned. That's CNN actress. She's going to go home. She'll go home to wherever that is, New York City, wherever she actually lives. And that gentleman will live in this community now where more businesses have been destroyed, more jobs have been stolen. And yes, it is a tragedy that now what we're hearing is the officer was reaching for a taser, not a gun. But you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that if you just paid attention to the virtue signalers. The West Coast and in the country of Seattle. Portland.
There are other people legitimately raising questions about
There's also
the challenge
Antifa.
To the
car.
Out of your house in the street!
We call that the best of Antifa. So in the separate country of Seattle, in the separate state of half of Washington state, in the separate country of Oregon, from the mouths of people who pretend to be congresswomen, Pramila Paypal, we have now an assessment. They know what went on. Now, before we get started in this, I know there's a lot of concern. I know a lot of people are very, very afraid for Patrice Cullors. And from what I can tell, Patrice is okay. And I don't know that she's moved into her $1.4 million home in the nearly all-white Topanga Canyon area of California. But from what we can tell, one of the co-founder, the woman who said we're trained Marxists with Black Lives Matter Incorporated, if she's not in her $1.4 million home yet, she's on her way. So just rest assured that she's safe, because I got a lot of notes this morning from people saying, did the woman who caused this and trained people to respond this way and who has been responsible for her group has been responsible for, in my judgment, the taking of more black lives than cops ever have in the past 3 years in unarmed shootings? She's okay. Let's go through the good dog, good media doggy approach here. We have Como News. Breaking, Seattle police said a group of protesters marching downtown Monday evening have vandalized multiple businesses after a Minnesota black man was killed by a cop during a routine traffic stop. All right. Good job, Como. You really signaled that virtue so well. Let's go through the checklist of things. Protesters don't vandalize. Those are vandals. Those are criminals. Protesters protest. They speak. They scream. They yell. They chant. They hold up signs. They do petitions. They push for legislation. They demand results. They want to see things change. Vandals go break businesses. business owners who had literally nothing to do with the shooting of this person. Also, in your virtue signaling tweet and article, you make a point of saying that the dead person was a black man. That's true. Do you have any proof, one scintilla, a one tiny shred of evidence that race was a factor in this? Now, I know you don't need that because systems are racist. So if you remove all the people from Earth, if you brought down, God forbid, a massive neutron bomb, and you blew up all people on Earth, but all the buildings stood, everything would still be racist, but only in one direction. Good job. Way to step up and virtue signal. So-called Mayor Ted Wheeler in the separate country of Oregon, in a separate city of Portland. Now, wait, let me go back to Como News. Como, did you write anything? No, they did, actually. Nope, I take that back. Como was excellent around Antifa-stan. They did, in fact, talk about the murder of a child in Antifa-stan, a teen, who himself was up to no good that night. Doesn't make it less sad that he's dead. They did, in fact, cover the murders of two teenagers in Antifa-stan. I don't think that they had a lot of interest in who did it. In fact, there's been no talk about who did that, who caused that environment to exist. Here's so-called Mayor Ted Wheeler in Portland, which for over a year has sustained a domestic terror group attempting to burn cops alive in a federal building and undertaking actual insurrection attempts armed with things like welders and these great big disc saws to break into the building to burn cops alive. Mayor Ted Wheeler. His name was Dante Wright. He should still be alive. He had a family who loved him and a life ahead of him. We must remember his name as we work to end systematic racism in our public safety system. All right. So this so-called mayor, he knows there was racism at play here. Again, the public safety system is racist. Not the people, mind you. Again, if you dropped a neutron bomb on all the public safety employees, the system would still be racist. Ted Wheeler, well done. Oh, by the way, he put up the Black Lives Matter Incorporated hashtag. Black Lives Matter, who has asked for and gotten cops murdered, including black cops, including last year when a retired police detective was kicked and beaten to death inside his store as people celebrated it on live video. Good job, Ted Wheeler. Way to step up and be the man that we know you can be. Pramila PayPal. It's so funny when Pramila PayPal is on TV. If you're around anybody who works in news, it's funny to see, oh, you guys, turn around, look at the TV. Look. Pramila's on TV. Are we getting this? Are we capturing this? Are we rolling? Is anyone rolling? Pramila's, this is all she does is get on TV. Pramila, wait. Did I click the wrong tweet? I clicked the wrong tweet. Oh, I feel sad. I screwed that up. That was such a good buildup. I'm going to apologize to everybody. But let's continue the show. Nonetheless, I have a tweet here from Rashida Tlaib, one of the colleagues of Pramila PayPal. They pal around together. They're part of the, what is it? They call themselves the squad. Didn't Pramila PayPal make it into the squad? Here's Rashida Tlaib about Minnesota. It wasn't an accident. Policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist. Dante White was met with aggression and violence. I'm done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. The police system in the United States cannot be reformed. It must be torn down, says a woman who operates her life behind a militarized fence guarded by cops. It's intentional. It's inherently and intentionally racist, says a woman who promotes and supports a black nationalist group, which is a domestic terror group called Black Lives Matter Incorporated. Now, Rashida Tlaib won't have to face what the citizens in Brooklyn Center are facing, like people who live in an apartment building across from the police headquarters the terrorists are trying to burn down. Do you hear the woman who lives there saying, there are children in here. There are children in here. I bet some of those children are black. Do their psychologies matter? Does their mental health matter? Does their physical safety matter? No, because people are screaming, we're at war. Justice can't happen that way. No justice, no peace. The only way to get justice is a legal process, but not for this so-called Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. It wasn't an accident. So she's now calling it murder. But she doesn't have to live with the results of that. Because remember, while she says we can't have these militarized cops, she's all safe and sound behind an absurd militarization of your property in Washington, D.C. Well, we're not even done. We're not even done. We'll check traffic that'll come back and tell you that liberal journos are telling us that the Seattle police are a national security threat. Then we'll go right down the list of the mockingbirds and what they were saying about the Johnson & Johnson injection, which the FDA has pulled because it's creating some nasty problems of killing people with blood clots. Let's check traffic.
Our first spot of break-worthy stop-and-go traffic happening right now in Federal Way on northbound 5 just before you get to 272nd. It's pretty short-lived. Still seeing some slowing on northbound 167 at South 180th up to 405. And now starting to see some slowing coming into Seattle on northbound 5 as well. This report is sponsored by Molina Healthcare. For the health coverage you need, lean on Molina with 40 years of experience covering preventive services, prescription drugs, maternity, and newborn care. Details at Lean on Molina. Lena.com, AM 770, KTTH traffic.
Jason Rance called my attention to this, actually called a bunch of people's attention to this on Twitter. Jason's 3 to 6 p.m. here, all over Fox News. We have Jason on the show every Thursday. All right, this is from a blue check Twitter news provider, almost 500,000 followers. Seattle educator and activist Jaden Grayson said the events of January 6 held up a mirror to a troubling side of Seattle's identity. So what was this troubling side? All right. This is the insider quoting here Jaden Grayson, a Seattle educator and activist. In other words, an agitator. If police officers potentially use community resources, taxpayer dollars, to make their way to one of the greatest breaches in national security that has ever happened in American history, it tells Seattle, this is who we are. All right. Let's start, as Jason points out. Six Seattle police officers decided to go to a event in Washington, D.C. in support of election integrity, in support of the president. Trump fans, whether they're just fans of legal elections, whether they believe the election is stolen, and it's none of my business. They're born free American citizens. They get to go to Washington, D.C. Are there accusations that they were part of the people who broke into the Capitol? No. Are there any signs that they used taxpayer dollars to do that? No. No. But I guarantee that Jaden Grayson, activist and educator, doesn't remember that the woman who runs fundraising for Black Lives Matter Incorporated, Susan Rosenberg, was convicted of setting off a bomb in the Capitol outside the Senate meeting rooms. The bomb exploded. She was attempting to kill Republicans. I might regard that as perhaps more of an armed insurrection attempt than a bunch of people who got way out of hand but didn't bring weapons. But of course, that's not an insurrection because it's done on the right side of virtue signaling. Now, speaking of virtue signaling, I've been tracking this for a long time. You might know if you listen to the show that I'm the tiniest bit obsessed with the hoax level response to a real flu, SARS-CoV-2, which can lead to an infection called COVID-19. You may know that I have been calling COVID the election and the election COVID beginning way early last year. You might know that we've had experts on from Harvard and Oxford and Brown and et cetera ad nauseum. We've had Scott Atlas on the show. You may know that I've been tracking the reality of the COVID flu since that time. The actual death rates, we were ahead of that before Fox News had Scott Atlas on, and that sort of changed the debate. So I'm a tiny bit obsessed with this stuff. Here's how Como News in Seattle, this is the ABC affiliate in Seattle. This is how they reported, so-called reported, the Johnson & Johnson injection coming into Washington State. And then there was this limit on it. And there wasn't going to be enough available. They called it a one-shot wonder. The one-shot wonder. And warned people that it's bleak. They might not be able to get the Johnson & Johnson injection. Although I see now that the American media likes to call it a jab because it makes them sound British. And they want to sound intelligent and British. Have you got your jab? They called it a one-shot wonder. But that was even as the adverse reactions to the Johnson & Johnson injection, the gene therapy from Johnson & Johnson, was being known. Was being documented. And it's not just the blood clot issue. How about a 45-year-old woman who got the injection at school and then had a brain hemorrhage 6 days later? Alex Berenson tracks this stuff. So even as these results were piling up, even as other countries were beginning to halt this, Como News was still calling it a one-shot wonder. Is that the job of a news organization to take an experimental medication and determine that it's a one-shot wonder? I'll share both sides of this story. The chances, the odds of you dying from any of the mRNA injections or the DNA injections, it's very, very small. And in comparison to injections for the flu, it's 500 times higher. So make your own decisions. For me, I have a 99.87% survival chance, probably greater than that. I'm only in my 50s. I'm in very good health. I don't have any comorbid factors. I'd put my survival chances at 99.9%. I don't want hook proteins, probably spike proteins, in my cells. I'll choose instead to see that my immune system fights it off, which it probably did because I probably had it earlier in the year. Now, here's some more from Como News. And this is disturbing because Como News is great on homelessness. They're great on drug addiction. They're great on some of those ills within the separate country of Seattle. But they, like every other member of the Seattle Media Five, are 100% lockstep pushing the mRNA injections, pushing masks, pushing lockdowns. Here we go. From their Twitter. Early government data confirmed the worst fears that COVID-19 pandemic fueled the drug addiction crisis and opioid deaths skyrocketed. That is garbage. Flus do not cause people to shoot up more opioids. Don't do that. Medically useless, deadly, politically advantageous lockdowns do that because it drives people into states of despair. Because people weren't allowed to go to their AA meetings. They weren't allowed to go to their narcotics recovery meetings because those were non-essential. Now, if they needed abortions or to get shot up with wrong sex hormones, oh, baby, that's really essential. You got to go do that. You need your pot shop. That's open. You need your liquor store. That's open. You need your cartel to serve you up heroin, meth or fentanyl in downtown Seattle in one of the drug camps. Well, they never cracked down on that. That's all good to go. So Como News, the pandemic, which was never a pandemic because the WHO, the World Health Organization, changed the definition way back in March of last year so they could say, hey, look, here's a pandemic that didn't cause these. Here's more, just pretense from the media. Here's how Bloomberg News, we'll get into this in the next segment. There are some famous leftists who are getting red-pilled slowly but surely, and it is a fantastically good sign. Glenn Greenwald writes, how do we positively frame the fact that Biden has requested the largest Pentagon budget in history, larger than any amounts under Trump, with the phrase a decrease from Trump era spending trends? Listen to this spin from Bloomberg's Jennifer Jacobs. Scoop. Biden plans to request $715 billion for his first Pentagon budget, a decrease from Trump-era spending trends. It's the largest budget in history for the Pentagon. But it's a decrease in spending trends. Lastly, Apple News knows who's going to take advantage of the Derek Chauvin trial. It's white supremacists. Not Black Lives Matter, not Patrice Collier's from her $1.4 million home, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Incorporated. Now, Apple News has got that figured out. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. It's great to see some red pilling of really famous leftists. We'll talk about that. Plus, more proof that if you are a parent in Washington State, I am telling you with 100% seriousness. Oh, come on, everybody. You know this song. Let it roll just a little bit. You know this song. It's part of the segment. Give it to me, Paul Westbrook. Here it is. There it is. It's a temporary low. Come on, it was a great band. A little sloppy, but that's part of the charm. You know, I think he actually is a better singer because of his alcoholism. I think he said that.
Really?
Yeah. Replacements, Paul Westbrook. By the way, if you, what a good solo album. His first solo album was actually really good, Paul Westerberg. What was it called? 14 Songs? I'll have to get that out.
Paul Westerberg?
Yeah, put out a solo album. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. There's a reason that we're playing that, and it has to do with the content of this here segment. It can seem like things are really, really lost. And that the country is down the tube. And I listen, I go back and forth on this. But when I see lifetime leftists being awakened to what is going on with the party, it gives me great hope because some of these leftists have massive, massive footprints of influence. And it happens on local bases. It happens on national bases. I know a woman who has a very large base of influence, who was very liberal, and then a so-called school counselor decided, hey, I'm going to tell your 11-year-old girl the reason she's sad and feels out of place is because she's a boy. And I'm going to do that behind your back. I'm going to lie to your face. I'm going to bring in a counselor from Swedish hospital to similarly lie to this girl after one meeting. Hey, the reason that you don't fit in at school is because you're actually a boy. And that led this person down a path of, wow. Wow. The side I've been on is doing this? Coming up next hour, you'll hear from our friend. We've been talking with Julie about her kid and what I consider to be a psychiatric kidnapping. And what Julie has told us about requiring 8 cops to go to the Paul G. Allen Hope Center in Seattle to get her daughter out of there. And you're going to hear an update, including the fact that according to Julie, and I've seen emails that back this up, a non-government lawyer with an organization that I would refer to as a social justice front has been trying to chase her daughter down to represent her daughter with what seems to me and appears to Julie to be an attempt to separate the family. Again, not government. There's no CPS here. No Child Protective Services. This is apparently a private organization. So I'll make the case again with Julie next hour that your kids, you are not safe in the separate country of Seattle or in a good portion of Washington State. This leads people to red pills. As they realize, my gosh, are you kidding me? The party can do this. terms, the party means technocrats, statists, and leftists. They are aided by mockingbird media sources who repeat and amplify their positions without any skepticism, including, for instance, since we ran that piece with Julie three times, this will be the third interview, only one media source has picked it up. Dory Monson, my friend, Kyle Radio. An attempted psychiatric kidnapping, as I see it. Not news. The good news, Glenn Greenwald is he's historically very leftist. Glenn is a gay man. Glenn is in a partnership with another gay man, and together they have children. Glenn has been a critic for years of the national security agencies. He's been a critic for years saying they're building up spying capabilities against citizens. For years he said this. And when he was saying it against Republicans, the left was saying, yes, look at Glenn Greenwald, absolute hero. Then Glenn Greenwald, writing at an organization he founded, wrote an article about the mockingbird media using the propaganda of silence with the Hunter Biden story. Let me explain the term for new listeners. Bias can be spotted. Propaganda can be spotted. Lies can be spotted. Silence, not telling people that the Hunter Biden laptop exists, that the national security agencies knew about it, not telling them that is a brilliant form of propaganda. It's called the propaganda of silence. I came up with that. I like that. When he wrote that article, the news organization he founded wouldn't run it. The management team he put together refused to run it. And his red pilling is accelerating. This is quoting Glenn Greenwald. Everyone knows now that the Hunter Biden documents, including those raising question about Joe's participation in his China deals, are authentic. But admitting that is a scandal, given what they and Facebook did, they can't admit it. So they've trained liberals to think of any mention of this as trivial. Anyone interviewing Hunter Biden who doesn't ask these questions is committing journalistic malpractice. Were any of the reported emails attributed to you forged? Did you pursue the business deals in China reflected in those emails? Did the big guys 10% refer to Joe? He's noticing this. He's noticing the coordinated seeming quote reporting around the mRNA injections. He's noticing the coordinated quote reporting around the lockdowns, which is we don't criticize the lockdowns. For instance, about the Johnson & Johnson injections, I've been reading about these side effects and talking with you about them for months. Well, not months, but a month. Suddenly you have the mockingbirds talking about these problems, but how do they do it? They provide Johnson & Johnson's press release. So Glenn Greenwald is awakening. This should be good news for us. Naomi Wolf, Dr. Naomi Wolf, a former advisor to Bill Clinton, is awakening. What did it with her? The lockdowns. And the refusal of the mainstream media, the mockingbirds, to even examine them. The attacks against Alex Berenson. The attacks against other people like Scott Atlas. That awakened her. Now she's looking at all of the surveillance things that Joe Biden's dementia wants. Quote, yes, they voted for him. I hope for the best, but we must face the fact they're wasting no time dismantling our sacred systems and our democratic way of life. She's being slowly red-pilled. Megan Murphy, a woman that my friend Dory interviewed 4 years ago. She was awakened when she was banned from speaking at places because she says that women are women. She was suddenly a hater and a bigot. Now she's awakening to the surveillance state. She's Canadian, but she's talking about this in Canada and now seeing it in America as well. This is good news because there are people who are now saying, you know what? I think it's time for me to switch political sides. Now you see... see why we put this music in here? Right? You be me for a little while, and I'll be you. Back to the Todd Herman Show. Appreciate you listening and on the podcast. And I think the show sheet will be updated today. Alex got the COVID again, which means he either didn't have it the first time or doesn't have it now. So please pray for Alex's health. He's our producer normally. Tark is filling in, and I hope the show sheet is available today. That would be the links to everything we talk about on the program. And if it is available, it will be through texting Todd to 800-465-8770. Coming up at just 7:03, just around the corner. If you're not familiar with the story of Julie and her daughter, it is what I regard as basically an attempted psychiatric kidnapping is how I regard it. Sounds nuts. You can't be saying that. Well, I can, because this is the third time I'm going to talk with Julie. And we visited earlier about an update about her daughter, who she'll give you an update on that. You need to hear the story of a mother having to call 8 cops to get her daughter out of the Paul G. Allen Hope Center, which is what Julie's told us occurred. The Seattle police is not releasing the police report, even though they told her she'd have it like 2 weeks ago. And you will not believe what a Seattle-based lawyer appears to be doing, based upon emails I've seen and what Julie has told me, pursuing a 14-year-old in what Julie contends is an attempt to break up this family. Now, this can sound like madness if you live in America, but we're talking about Seattle. We're talking about a city and an area that is doing everything they can to divorce kids from their parents with perverse sex ed and in the schools and critical race theory. So, again, it can seem like things are just falling apart. In some ways they are, but we have the knowledge, which is potential power. You have the ability to get your kids out of these schools to join the school boards. Who else have this? We have this. This is incredible. A comparison. We can know for certain whether there is any news organization in Seattle and Washington State. I'm going to give you a test. This is how to know. Jay Inslee, the so-called governor of Washington State, is rolling 3 counties, Pierce, Cowlitz, and Whitman, back to his made-up phase 2 because of the COVID flu. And by the way, he didn't go on TV wrapped up in his virtue signaling woke mask, even though he long ago got the magic mRNA injection. He didn't do that this time. He just put out a press release. Hey, small business owners, you thought you made it? No, I'm crushing you. The crazy thing about Inslee is I actually think he believes this stuff. That his medically useless, deadly, selective lockdowns of school children, churches, and small businesses, I think he actually believes this works. Want to know why he believes it? Well, no one will question it. Jay Inslee is staff run. That's not me talking. Well, I mean, legitimately, I spoke those words, so in fact, that was me talking to fact-check myself lifetime. But he had a reputation in Washington, D.C. when he was a congressman to be the most staff-run of all congressmen. There was a famous case. Inslee was giving a press conference, and a reporter asked him his opinion, his position on a certain bill. And Jay Inslee turned around to a staff member and said, "What's my position on that? What's my position on that?" Here's the test for the Saddam 85. The Today Show ran a story about how the non-lockdown states have done better. Fewer people dying and getting the COVID flu than the lockdown states. The Today Show. Here's the test. You either report that or you admit you are not news organizations when it comes to the COVID flu. You're mockingbirds. You admit it. If you don't question this, you are putting a sign up that says, "We work for Fauci." How would you know it? To find good news, sometimes you have to turn to a semi-famous Canadian rock band. Because you can think you've seen it. Quick fact check. Baby, you just ain't seen it or nothing yet. There's something you never forget, baby. You know, you just ain't seen nothing yet. There's a great group out of Tennessee who is questioning the lockdowns. It's WeCan'tComply.com. The so-called governor of Tennessee wanted this guy to appear in an ad.
He asked me to be in this commercial and use my voice as well as exploit my illness. Along with using me, he's using your tax dollars to make this propaganda.
Mask
to scare
propaganda.
You so you keep obeying. See, I love wearing this mask. Out of my dirty jean pocket, then onto my face. It's easy to comply. Comply, because we told you to.
I love it. They are still in America, Tennessee. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. You'll exclusively hear the update on Julie's story, which, look, I regard as an attempted psychiatric kidnapping of her child. That's next.